ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So now we're at the beginning of the year, and it's a natural inclination to reorganize oneself, get a new lease on life, start over, give up any of the bad habits one's developed, and start new good habits. And the exciting prospect is that that's possible because we have free will. And just by directing our free will in the proper way, we can actually elevate ourselves in due course of time. So one of the ways to do this is to set goals, and free from any distraction, sitting by oneself or with somebody else who's your significant other to discuss these things and develop goals is a very helpful way of refocusing your energy, and it doesn't take a lot of time in its simplest of forms. And here are a few tips that will help you in setting your goals. And afterwards, if you'd like, you can have this, we'll send out this PDF, and you can look it over and follow it to set your own goals, personally or for your family. And the first one is to decide what you want and write it down. Because we find that most people don't know what they want. And how do we find this? I ask people. In fact, at many of the corporate programs that we've been doing lately, I do an exercise where, through guided meditation, people end up under a desire tree. And they're already informed that the tree can fulfill any of their desires. And as they're sitting there meditating under the desire tree, I ask them to become now very much aware of what they actually want. And oftentimes when I say that, people's eyes are closed, and I see through the room people sort of jump like, uh-oh, what do I do now? I don't know what I want. And the feedback we get afterwards is that, oh, I wasn't sure. I wasn't really sure what I want. And so this is one of the ways that we can be more determined in our lives, in our practice, is to be aware of what we want and prioritize it. Because when we're very clear about what our ultimate purpose is and what we really want in our life, then we can start working towards it. But if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And there's so much distraction available nowadays that's often the route that one takes. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika bhuryareki hakurunandana bahushaka hiyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam, that if you're not clear about what you want, if you're not very determined about it, which means being clear, then you're going to go for many branched desires that lead you in all different directions, and you'll feel frustrated. So this is an exciting time to be alive as a human being. You can sit down with a blank piece of paper or a screen. Best if you write it by hand, according to recent studies, although some of them came from the big pen company, so I don't know how unmotivated they are. Write down what your goals are. Have enough of paper. These days I use larger kinds of notebooks, so I'm not inhibited. Like, I love these things, mixed media paper. This is a bigger notebook. So that way, you know, when I start writing stuff down, I don't feel limited by the size of the page. Legal pads are nice also. Plus you can, you know, use watercolors or pens or all kinds of stuff on here and be a little creative. But decide what you want and write it down is the first thing. And if you do that, you'll start noticing the energy coming to bear right away. And the second thing that you can do once you write it down is to make your goals SMART. That is a specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And specific means that instead of just saying, for instance, if you say, I want to lose weight, you would say, you know, I lose 12 pounds of fat, or something like that. Or if you were going to talk about, I want to increase, you know, reading, you would be very specific and say, I read half an hour a day. I read at least 20 pages a day, something like that. Good to put in at least also, because as we know from setting goals at ISV for book distribution and other programs, it gives you a clause where you can increase if you want. Nobody can stop you. And measurable, whatever you measure gets done. So you have to find a way to make sure that you can calculate how you're doing. This is something we'll be talking about during this month at ISV also. We have many different departments. We do measure book distribution, and how do we measure other things? Like if someone says, how did the Sunday feast go? What levels of measurement do we have for it that say, okay, we hit all our marks? We should have an index for every one of our programs to say how we did. As if you can measure it, then you can increase it, and you can do better. Sankhya Purvaka. This is not foreign to the spiritual realm. Sankhya Purvaka means to count and measure how you're doing in your practices. Then attainable, make sure that it's something that it's conceivable that you could possibly do it. For instance, if I announce that I want to become a world-famous cricket player, it's not going to happen because I can't move around as fast as I used to, and I don't know how to play cricket, and I'm not going to learn now. So make sure it's attainable. Realistic is very similar, and timely means that you have to tell when you're going to attain it. So these are pretty simple things, but if you take time to, and it may seem like drudgery at first to your mind, like, why do I have to nail this down? Well, wait till after you nail it down, then you'll see how important it was to do that. Next one is to write your goals in the present tense and make them positive. For instance, I read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in the next 5 years. That's in the present tense and positive. So if you're going to do something, then write the positive and in the present tense. And the next one is to break larger goals into smaller tasks. For example, ask how many pages a day you have to read to finish Srimad Bhagavatam 1 year, 2 years. You always win by increments. Find out the kind of increment that you can do on a regular basis, and then do that, because it's in the present time when you're doing the small things that you'll find victory over time. And the next is to create accountability by sharing some of your goals with others that you trust. If you're working together with somebody and they know what you're shooting for and they can assist you, at least by keeping you accountable, it makes it even more possible. Make a list of your goals visible. This really helps. I do this a lot. I put the goals up where I can look at them regularly and just review them. In fact, some people say that if you rewrite them on a regular basis, it makes you super conscious of them, because if not anything else, you'll notice the powerful force of time that drags you away from everything that you're focused on. And even after a week, 2 weeks, you'll notice, oh, I'm not doing anything of what I said I was going to do. Let me come back to it. And when you're flying from San Francisco to New York, the airplane is off track most of the time. But because they know where their center is, they keep pulling back to it. So you have to know what your center is and keep pulling back to it. You don't have to be on track all the time, but if you come back and look at your goals regularly or even rewrite them, it will help you pull back to that center. The next is to reassess. It's very helpful to take time to look and see how you're doing and to assess how things went for the week, for the month, for the year, for the last 3 years, and so forth. And when you do that, then you can take valuable lessons away. Like one question that Nirkul and I were doing when we were just on a retreat, we're asking what lessons did we learn from 2000 and, what was it, 18? It's the clock. And just thinking about it, what am I taking away from it? And also, I took a little time to go back through all the I had carried these little notebooks in my pocket, and I'm constantly writing things down, and taking time to actually go back and look at them and see what's in them. It was a revelation to me. It's like, wow, you wrote that? Thank you. Good boy, you know. Thanks for remembering that. And being able to gather it all together at the end of the year and say, you know, what did I get? It's very powerful. And it's also encouraging, too, because you're doing a lot more than you know that you're doing. You know, you might forget how well you're doing. So that's important to take some time, even at the end of every week, to assess what you've done, what lessons did you learn, what have you got, and organize some of the things that you've collected. Also, you can adjust your goals at regular intervals. So when you look at them, you assess them, and you say, okay, this one's too much or it's not enough, then feel free to readjust it and rewrite it so that it feels right to you. Number 9 is to categorize your goals. Look at different categories in your life, like spiritual. Like, what would you say for the spiritual? What kind of goals could you think of? Yeah, and then you could say within there subcategories like chanting. And then what about in chanting? What could you do? What time you'd wake up in the morning and start chanting? Or you might say, I chant first before I do anything else. You can decide these things, and you can drill it down even to more specific things, as specific as you like, when you do these categories. Family. Is family important? Thank you. What kind of things would you think of when you're saying you set a family goal? Use the mic, because I want verification that I'm not repeating things you're saying. Okay, finances, and Hansapriya, please.
Actually, for the family, it dawned me. I took my mom out during the shutdown, was somewhere in Santa Cruz, and then mom said that after a year and a half, we are going together. So then it dawned me that probably I need to add that to my goal, that at least, you know, once a quarter to spend time with parents.
Yes. These things can make a huge difference in your life. What other things would you think of in family? I mean, one thing is we could take family for granted and just, you know, and we can also justify it too and say, you know, I'm a renounced sage like Shukadeva Goswami, so I don't have anything to do with family. It's all Maya anyway. Or we could just get in a pattern, even if we don't think like that, of kind of taking them for granted. You can say hi, bye, and never take time with your family. And you could do that for a week or a month or a year or 10 years or even a lifetime. And then, you know, when they die, then you'll get all upset, you know, like, I never took time. What other family things? Yes.
So I was thinking that at least I want to make sure that I speak once with my mom in 2 days to make sure how she's doing in India. And with kids, have some family time, like game time, and spend some time so we are all together in it and having a good time, at least, especially during vacation time. That's what we are planning, to do something at least.
Yeah. And if you don't set the time, if you don't schedule it, then you could miss it. So, you know, budget it in. Sukeshwari.
I was thinking that, you know, I try to do this all many times, but I keep forgetting, as Srimataji said, I try to remember to call my parents and do the things, but I forget time of with spouse and, you know, with Srivatsa at home. So this time we decided that I just got this $10 makeshift island table tennis. So we
figured
it.
Hey, I'm coming over now.
So at 5:30, 6 o'clock, when Prabhu comes back from work, sometimes Shiva says, like, I don't want to play. I said, okay, you don't have to play, you have to be the referee. Then we play, and then he takes turn playing with his dad. So I feel that at least 10 minutes a day that we do something that as a family, you know, we try to, not that we do it every day, but, you know, at least a couple times a week, you know, at the same island, we'll take everything off, clean up, and make it a table tennis. That's something that we add to our usual.
Yeah, these things are important for staying balanced and whole. Then you have your professional life, and there's so many different adjustments you can think about there. Health and fitness, very important, because these things add up over time. There's an admonition that you might have heard of, an apple a day. Yeah, and what if you substitute that with caramel, a Hershey's bar a day? It does what? Make sure that you go to the doctor. But if you do that on a regular basis, that was Jim Rohn, if you do that on a regular basis, you know, make the right move, you eat the apple or you eat the Hershey bar, then basically you're spelling out your success or your doom as far as your health goes. So it's really important to keep the body healthy and think about ways to maintain it. Not inordinately. You don't have to become a famous cricketer or bodybuilder, but you do have to have a modicum of information of how the robot works and doesn't work. If you start pouring stuff into your car that doesn't work for the car, you're going to damage it. And same thing with your body. So you have to be really careful about what you take in. And then etc. What's etc.? What other category? Give me two more.
Cleaning.
Cleaning, yeah. And?
Education.
That's another thing. There's so many things that you can learn, right? If you wanted to learn an instrument or you wanted to learn about some historical thing or, you know, whatever you want, you can learn something. Social time, yeah. So if you plan these things out and you set goals, then you'll find that your focus is going in the right direction, in a productive direction. That's the only page, right? There's no more pages. Oh, my God. Some fanatical person wrote this. Number 10, use various time frames. These are kind of helpful because it's not that you just set goals for the year, but you can set one-minute goals. If you ever find yourself languishing and you're thinking, like, I can't get moving, just set yourself a one-minute goal. 60 seconds is something powerful. You say, in the next 60 seconds, I'm going to get two things done that I need to do, and you just move, and then you're off and running. And how about an hour, a day, a week? 30-day goals are really powerful because you can tolerate anything for 30 days, and it's amazing what you can get done in 30 days. 5 years. 1 year, 5 years, lifetime goals, 100-year goals, those are really good, especially if you're 60. So so if you think of these different time frames and set goals for these different periods, then you'll find. Here's a quote to note, disturbance from Prabhupada's purport, disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. That's from Alice in Wonderland. Drops a day, we're a stone away, Prabhupada's famous saying. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Forget who said that. And goals are potent, my old friend Will McCoy. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. So trimming the sails. Any questions or comments about goal setting? Yes.
How do you validate that your goals are realistic, that they are you said they should be attainable, but what if you want something that's, you know, something that is not attainable? How do you have someone check that?
In a number of ways, you can look at your past record. Mm-hmm. You can talk to people who've been successful in it. For instance, if you wanted to learn a language, there's a lot of things on YouTube. Some of them are very unrealistic, where you could, you know, somebody says learn Japanese in 30 days. Right. Now you can go down and look at the comments that everybody makes afterwards. You jerk, you know. I couldn't do that in 30 days. You know, you can look at it carefully and say, oh, you know, it would probably take a few years to do this, how to break it down. And so look at it in smaller increments, what experts say about it, and things like that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And other things are obvious, like the cricketer thing. It's not happening for me. Anything else? Yes.
I was going to reflect on the time frames you were saying with the 1 minute. Mel Robbins wrote a book about the 5-second rule, and I had read it a year ago, and she was talking about how our mind is so overpowering that when she, you know, wasn't dead and she was in a very bad place in her family, she found herself waking up very late on a daily basis, and she wanted to wake up earlier. And instead of making it such a big ordeal, she set like a 5-second time frame that she would like count down and say, then I'm just going to wake up after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And she was saying that for our minds, sometimes even that frame is too long because it just immediately changes. So for some people, it may be 1 second. And so I was just reflecting.
Yeah, so she said don't count up because it's unlimited how far you can count up. But we already know this from the countdown, right? It should be illegal. Because it's the same principle that she was using, that we count down from 10, Krishna 10, Krishna 9, because it's like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, why'd you raise your hand? I had to. You know, so if you're trying to motivate yourself, count down from 5 and then go, right?
And the funny thing is, she was saying, because as we grow, our distraction period is becoming like our concentration ability is so much less. For some people, it may be 3 seconds or 2 seconds or 1 second. And so when we were saying these time frames, I was thinking a 1 minute goal may be quite powerful to start your engine.
Yeah, 1 minute goals can be really powerful. And especially we notice this in chanting japa, because that's one of the times where we're really focusing our minds, practicing focusing. And so oftentimes, teachers of japa will say, try for 3 mantras in a row. And if you can do that, then you're successful. And then try for another 3 and another 3, but stay in that 3 at a time so you don't feel overwhelmed. Any other things? Yes?
Hare Krishna. I was wondering if you might say something about proper attitude when you fail to make your goals. Because I find sometimes if I just shrug it off too easily, then I don't take my goals seriously enough. But then somehow if I beat myself up too much, then I create some sort of aversion complex. So I wonder if you might say something like that.
Well, it helps if you consider whatever progress that you have made towards the goal. And as I mentioned in one of the points, you know, resetting it. Oftentimes, I find when I'm endeavoring towards a certain goal, if I don't make it, the timing might not have been right. You know, and I'll reset it in a way that it makes it a lot easier to at least get some momentum with it. And it's generally not a good idea to beat yourself up too much, but to find out a happy medium where you can keep moving towards it. Just like in our practice of devotional service, oftentimes we may not live up to our own goals or expectations. But if we just restart and keep going, I find often the best goal of all is to keep the vibration going. Because sometimes the modes become so intense that it's prohibitive to do anything practically. So to encourage yourself, just keep something going. I always take it as a great encouragement how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the 64 items of devotional service and then puts them into five. And then he puts the five into one. He says, if at least you do these five, then you're going to be successful. And then if you do at least one, you know, keep the chanting going, then you'll be successful. And remembering that different times of our life or day or week may be more oppressive than others, and not becoming overly discouraged as long as we're able to keep the vibration going. So momentum is always really important with goals. If you can do, one of the ways that we can defeat ourselves is to say that if I can't do everything, then I won't do anything. Better to do something. And you never know, if you just stay in the game somehow or other and keep trying towards it, that the time factor and the other factors Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita might come to bear, and then you'll be successful and you'll feel that you move forward. We're our own worst critics normally. Oftentimes the mind tries to discourage us and say, oh, you can't do it, or it's no good what you're doing. So remembering that something is better than nothing, and that the momentum principle can be very effective, keeping it going. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Like the last point that you mentioned, that keep the light on when it's emergency period. So I was thinking, Prabhu, if categorizing the goals based on like what we should achieve, what we can try to achieve, and which goals we should not go to achieve, like, does that help? Like categorizing the goals based on like these goals we should achieve, these goals we can try to achieve, but if we don't, that's fine, and these goals we shouldn't go to achieve.
Yeah, there's no ultimate hard and fast rules. These are just some tips. But the main thing is your awareness. And if you take time to think about them, you can make your own categories. And if you're doing that, then it's likely you're going to be going for something, because where attention goes, energy flows. The problem is that I don't put any attention towards it, and therefore I go by default mode. And the default mode in the material world means I get dragged down into the lower modes of nature. So it's better to be a little proactive and structure your life. Otherwise, why did Rupa Goswami write the Nectar of Instruction? He wrote it so that we could have some idea of structure. In fact, he says, organize your life in such a way that you can stay focused on these particular things. He gives six things to avoid and six things that you should do. And so those are categories, and those are very specific things that you can shoot for.
And actually, I was watching the video by Shivram Swami that he shared this year, how to keep your resolutions. So he was mentioning that keeping your inner strength, keeping you inwardly strong is very important to get the goals that you set for the year. I mean, he was mentioning that sadhana and spiritual practice are very important to achieve the goals that you set for the new year.
It's absolutely necessary. And we, all our power and direction, everything, our life breath, it comes from Krishna. So we have to chant Hare Krishna. And if we do that as the primary, if we cover our bases spiritually, then we'll be enabled to do many other kinds of services. And I find this to be the most helpful, is to make sure you have your building blocks in place for your life, especially the basic practices that you do without fail every day. And that's why we try to put in place some structure, like there's Chad, and your mind can take shelter in the fact so many other people are doing it. There's a structure to it. Of course, you can do whatever chapter you want, but if you take the suggested chapter, then you save yourself the trouble of getting distracted and think, I couldn't think of a chapter this month. Just if you just hitch onto the train and follow it, you find yourself pulled along. And the very fundamental practices, if you cover them first, then you'll be enabled to do many other things in your life. And if you don't, then you'll end up in a morass of different problems and confusing situations. A spiritual life,
especially chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita breeds clarity. And you can't really be happy or have success in life without clarity. So those should be the primary building blocks of your life, is how you do your most basic and important practices of spiritual life every day. And don't let the other things invade that. For instance, you get so busy with work, you get so busy with family, everything else, that you can't do your spiritual practice. If that happens, then the other things don't have any meaning, according to the Bhagavatam. Kamasya nindriya pritir labo jivita yavata jivasya tattva jignasya narto yash jeha karma bi. The Bhagavatam says, basically, you know, what use is it if you live your life in such a way that you don't do your spiritual practice? You didn't really get anything ultimately. So make sure that you do your spiritual practice first and insert it into your life so that it becomes the primary and not, and it doesn't get diminished by all the other demands that will naturally come. And the idea is you should build on it too. The more you can keep building it so that it becomes more and more primary, and that's the main focus of your life, then the happier you'll be and the more successful you'll be. And the paradox is that ultimately, as we read earlier, when you're giving your focus to Krishna and your attention is going in that direction, then Krishna helps you in ways that you couldn't imagine. Yoga kshemam mahamyaham. In fact, to those who are fully devoted to giving their attention to Krishna, he personally takes care of their lives in all the other ways. So homework is that at least by the end of this weekend, take some little time or long time, whatever you can afford, to write down some goals. And then we'll bring them in because we'll share them the next time that we're together, okay? Hopefully you can have them by later this afternoon. Do you all have an idea of what you would write down? Are you already thinking about things? Anything interesting? What time is it now? 9:58. Okay, so we're going to have a Guru Puja now. So we're going to move the asanas away, and we're going to say some prayers and then sing the Guru Vashtakam to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Haribol Vanchakalp Durubhishcha Kripasindabe Vachapatitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakodi Vaishnavinniki Jai. Natari Armarman. Hey! Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman.